Today's a special day in the life of the church. Today we honor our mothers. We celebrate the women who carried us, cared for us, taught us, corrected us, prayed for us, and loved us through every season of life. For many people, Mother's Day brings warm memories. We remember bedtime prayers, home-cooked meals, hugs after hard days, and words of encouragement when life became difficult. Some of us remember mothers who worked long hours and still somehow found time to help with homework and make supper. Some remember mothers who sat beside hospital beds. Some remember mothers who prayed over them when they were making foolish choices. Some remember mothers who held families together when everything else seemed to be falling apart. And if we're honest, many mothers share some familiar qualities. You know you're dealing with a mother when she tells you to wear a coat because she's cold. You know you're dealing with a mother when the first question she asks is not how are you, but have you eaten? You know you're dealing with a mother when she still worries about you even after your hair has turned gray. You know you're dealing with a mother when she says things like, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? Or, don't make that face, it might freeze that way. There is something unique about the love of a mother. And that is why the words of Jesus in John 14 sound so much like the comforting voice of a loving parent. I will not leave you comfortless. Another translation says, I will not leave you as orphans. Those are tender words, gentle words, comforting words. And while Scripture often speaks of God as Father, the Bible also reveals that there are qualities in God's love that resemble the nurturing and compassionate heart of a mother. In Isaiah 66:13, God says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. That's a remarkable image. God compares divine comfort to the comfort a mother gives her child. Now, let's be clear. God is greater than any human comparison. God is neither limited by human categories nor confined to human roles. Yet, Scripture uses human relationships to help us understand the depth of God's love. And one of the strongest pictures the Bible uses is the image of a loving mother. So today I want us to think about the mother side of God. In this passage, Jesus teaches us three wonderful truths about the comfort of God. God comforts us with his presence. God comforts us with his understanding. And God comforts us with his power to help us overcome. So number one, God comforts us with his presence. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The disciples are troubled because Jesus is preparing to leave them. They've walked with him for 3 years. They have listened to his teaching, watched his miracles, and leaned upon his strength. And now he's talking about going away. Their hearts are anxious. They're afraid. They fear abandonment. But Jesus assures them that they will not be alone. He promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God with His people. There is no greater gift we can give another person than the gift of our presence. Sometimes people don't need speeches. Sometimes they don't need advice. Sometimes they simply need someone to sit beside them. When someone is grieving, words often fail. When someone receives bad news from the doctor, clever sayings don't help much. When someone's heart is broken, there are moments when silence and presence become the greatest ministry. One of the most painful experiences in life is feeling abandoned. Children feel it when parents are absent. Spouses feel it when marriages grow cold. Older parents feel it when nobody visits anymore. And sadly, in this modern world, we're often surrounded by people and still feel alone. We have phones in our hands, but loneliness in our hearts. We have social media connections, but very little genuine connection. Yet Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." What a promise. He doesn't say life will be easy. He doesn't say that there will be no sorrow. He doesn't say there will be no hardship, but He does promise this: you will not face life alone. There was an old country song called "Roses for Mama." And in that song, a man goes to the florist to buy flowers on Mother's Day. He plans to have them delivered because he's too busy with more important things to visit her himself. At the flower shop, he notices a little boy crying because he doesn't have enough money to buy roses for his mother. So the man kindly gives him enough money to purchase the flowers. Later on, as the man drives away, he passes a cemetery. And he notices the little boy kneeling beside a grave with the roses in his hands. The man stops and asks what he's doing. And the child explains that his mother died the year before, and that he comes to visit her often. Suddenly the man realizes something important. Flowers are good, but presence is better. He turns the car around and returns to the flower shop and asks if the order has been delivered. And he says no. He picks up the flowers himself. And he drives to see his mother in person. Nothing says "I love you" like being there. Children need parents who are there. Parents need children who are there. Friends need friends who are there. Church members need a church family that's there. And Jesus promises his disciples that though his physical body may depart, his spirit will remain with them always. One of the greatest truths in Christianity is that our faith is not built merely upon doctrines or rules or rituals. Christianity is built upon a relationship with the living Christ. The Holy Spirit means that God is not distant. God is not uninvolved. God is not absent. God is near. David understood this when he wrote in Psalm 139, "Where shall I come from, my spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" Then he answers his own question. If he ascends into heaven, God is there. If he descends into the depths, God is there. If he travels to the farthest sea, God is there. No matter where we go, we cannot outrun the presence of God. That truth has comforted believers for generations. God is with us in hospital rooms. God is with us at gravesides. God is with us in nursing homes. God is with us in lonely houses after the funeral's over and the family's gone home. God is with us during sleepless nights when worry floods our minds. God is with us when we walk through valleys that we never expected to face. A loving mother may sit beside her child through the night while fever burns and tears fall. In much the same way, God stays with his children. And some of you can testify today that there were moments in your life when the only reason you survived was because the Lord stayed near you. You may not have seen him physically, but you sensed his presence. You felt peace when there should have been panic. You felt strength when you should have collapsed. You felt hope when despair should have swallowed you whole. That's the presence of God. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. And he's kept that promise. Number two, God comforts us with his understanding and love. Presence alone is not enough. Someone can be physically near us and still not understand us. Many people feel lonely even in crowded rooms because nobody truly understands what they're carrying. But Jesus not only stays with us, he understands us. No one in history displayed greater compassion than Jesus Christ. Look at the Gospels. Watch him hold little children in his arms. Watch him touch the leper that nobody else would touch. Watch him defend the woman caught in adultery. Watch him weep at the tomb of Lazarus. Watch him restore Peter after Peter denied him three times. Again and again we see the tenderness of Christ. And Jesus says something astonishing. He that has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus reveals the heart of God. And the heart of God is compassionate. Sometimes people picture God as harsh, angry, and eager to condemn. But Jesus shows us a God who seeks, forgives, restores, and heals. The Spirit Christ sends is the same spirit of compassion that was visible in his earthly ministry. There was a banking company in Pennsylvania. They wanted their employees to better understand elderly customers who struggled with physical limitations. So they created exercises or training. Employees filled out forms with Vaseline smeared on their glasses to simulate glaucoma. They taped some of their fingers together to imitate arthritis while trying to count money. The purpose was simple: to develop empathy, to understand what others experience. What a difference understanding makes. Most conflicts become worse because people stop listening and start accusing. There's a story about a mother who discovered a six-pack of beer hidden in her teenage daughter's closet. When the daughter came home, the mother immediately confronted her daughter. "What is this? It looks like a six-pack of beer," the daughter answered sarcastically. The mother became angry. The daughter became defensive. Before long, the girl stomped off to her room and slammed the door. Conversation over. Later, someone asked the mother, "Why were you so upset?" She replied, "Because I don't want her to ruin her life." "And why don't you want her to ruin her life?" "Because I love her." Then came the difficult question. "Did your daughter hear love in your voice?" "Probably not." What if the mother had begun differently? "I love you, and I'm scared for you. Can we talk?" Love opens doors that anger often slams shut. And that was Jesus' way. Jesus asked questions. Jesus listened. Jesus invited people into truth rather than beating them down with shame. Think about the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus knew everything about her broken life. Yet he did not begin with condemnation. He began with conversation. He treated her with dignity, and because he did, her life changed. Think about Zacchaeus. Everybody else called him a sinner. Jesus called him by name. Think about Peter after the resurrection. Peter had failed miserably. He denied Christ 3 times. Yet Jesus did not destroy him. Jesus restored him. 3 times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" And with every question, Jesus healed a wound. That's the compassion of God. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Jesus understands weakness. Jesus understands temptation. Jesus understands grief. Jesus understands betrayal. Jesus understands pain. Some of you came into church today carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. You smile publicly while hurting privately. You worry about your children. You worry about your health. You worry about your future. And maybe you wonder, does anybody really understand? Jesus does. He understands the tears you never explain. He understands the prayers you can't put into words. He understands the loneliness. He understands the disappointment. He understands the fear. And because he understands, he comforts. Sometimes mothers have an amazing ability to know something is wrong before anybody says a word. The child walks into the room and says, "I'm fine." But the mother says, "No, you're not. Tell me what's wrong." How does she know? Love notices. Love pays attention. Love understands, and the love of God sees deeper than any human love ever could. Psalm 103 says, Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows our weakness. God remembers our limitations. God understands our humanity. And yet he still loves us. That's grace. Number three, God comforts by giving us strength to overcome. Jesus says, "Because I live, you shall live also." This is more than sympathy. This is power. A loving mother does more than comfort her child. She also prepares her child to face life. She teaches, encourages, corrects, supports, strengthens. A good parent does not simply remove every obstacle. A good parent helps the child become strong enough to overcome obstacles. That's what God does for us. God does not merely comfort us in our weakness. He strengthens us to endure and overcome. There's a remarkable story about Olympic figure skater Christy Yamaguchi. Christy was born with feet that turned inward. Doctors used corrective braces and shoes to help her walk properly. But her mother, Carol, refused to give up. She encouraged her daughter to develop strength and coordination through skating. For years, she woke up before dawn to take Christy to practice. Hour after hour, year after year, and eventually, Christy Yamaguchi won Olympic gold in 1992. Behind the champion stood a mother who helped her child overcome. That's what God does for his people. God gives strength. God develops character. God equips us to face life, and often God does his deepest work through difficulty. We would prefer comfort without struggle, victory without battle, faith without testing, but strength grows through resistance. Paul learned that lesson. He prayed for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. But God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God calms his child in the middle of the storm. Either way, his grace is sufficient. Many of you can look back over your lives and say, "I don't know how I made it through that season." Yet somehow you did. You survived grief. You survived heartbreak. You survived sickness. You survived financial hardship. You survived loneliness. Not because you were strong enough alone, but because God carried you. Isaiah says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Notice the wording, not "they might renew their strength," not "they could renew their strength." They shall renew their strength. That is God's promise. The Holy Spirit does not merely pat us on the shoulder and whisper, "Good luck." The Holy Spirit empowers believers. That's why frightened disciples became bold apostles. That's why persecuted Christians kept singing in prison cells. That's why believers throughout history endured suffering with hope, because Christ lives. And because he lives, we can live also. That promise reaches beyond this earthly life. Jesus was not only talking about daily strength, he was speaking about eternal hope. Death is not the end for the believer. The grave does not get the final word. Because Jesus rose from the dead, those who trust him shall live also. What comfort that brings, especially on days like Mother's Day. For many, today's joyful, but for others, today hurts. Some are celebrating mothers, others are mourning mothers. Some are surrounded by family, others sit with empty chairs and aching hearts. Some mothers are grieving children. Some children are grieving mothers. But the resurrection reminds us that sorrow is not forever. Because Christ lives, death has been defeated. Because Christ lives, there is hope beyond the cemetery. Because Christ lives, reunion awaits God's people. That is why Christians grieve differently. We still cry, we still mourn, but not as others, which have no hope. Our hope is in the risen Christ. Today we honor mothers. We thank God for every mother who sacrificed, prayed, encouraged, corrected, comforted, and loved. We thank God for grandmothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, spiritual mothers, and every woman who has helped shape lives through love and faithfulness. But ultimately, today points us beyond earthly mothers to the God whose love is perfect. A God who says, I will not leave you comfortless. A God who stays near. A God who understands. A God who strengthens. A God who carries us when we cannot carry ourselves. A God who gives eternal life through Jesus Christ. Maybe the greatest truth of all is this. Human love, at its very best, is only a reflection of the greater love of God. Every comforting mother reflects something of God's compassion. Every patient mother reflects something of God's grace. Every sacrificing mother reflects something of God's love. And even the best mothers fall short. But God never does. His love never fails. His mercy never runs dry. His presence never departs. And his strength never weakens. So whether today fills your heart with joy or with sorrow, hear again the promise of Jesus. I will not leave you comfortless. And hear this glorious declaration, because I live, you shall live also. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we can endure hardship. Because he lives, we can overcome fear. Because he lives, death is defeated. Because he lives, hope remains alive. Thanks be to God.